Good evening, Saints. Good evening, one and all. Tuesday, January the 21st, in the year of our Lord 2025. Your speaker this evening is Michael Scott. I'm coming to you, as always, from the city of Greensboro, the great and still suffering state of North Carolina. And let's go ahead and just open in prayer. Lord, please bless our time together this evening. We continue to ask your help and comfort for those that are still suffering throughout North Carolina and the Southeast United States from the storm and those battling fires in California. Now, our nation has a lot of problems, Lord, and we hope that many will turn to you in faith and put their hope and trust in you. Be with those who do know you, Lord. May this be a time when we can bring the good news, Father, of the finished work to many who may have never heard it. And to comfort those who mourn, who've lost. We've had a lot of death here in North Carolina, Father, and a lot of mourning. Provide those that need provision. And direct all of our thoughts, Father, and their thoughts to the future, Father, to the future resurrection. When all these things will be behind us. So we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior and Head, the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you will recall, back in October, maybe you do, maybe you don't, we visited Psalm 46, 44, 45, 46, in that area of the Psalms. And we looked to get some principles there, and we wanted to apply right division to the Psalms, to that part of Scripture. We do this where we're very mindful to apply right division to the law and with God's dealings with the children of Abraham, all that before the book of Psalms. And we do this, and we're careful to do this with the prophets and the earthly ministry of the Lord, the book of Acts, the epistles, the Revelation. When we take all these principles of right division, we have to remember it's all the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of God. And that includes the wisdom books, and I don't know that I've always thought of it that way. But really, in this past year, the importance of rightly dividing the wisdom books, the Psalms, Song of Solomon, etc., even Proverbs, is important. If we want to be wise in doing this, we have to applies to all the Word of God, the full revelation. So in our short time together tonight, we're going to look briefly at Psalm 111. And we're going to start with actually the end of it, a very well-known, very often quoted verse in Psalm 111. And since we want to try to understand all the Word of God, we're going to look at this psalm and look at some of the words there and be careful with it. We're going to revisit 46 just as an example in a moment to kind of get, if some are new to this, if you're listening to this online sometime later and you're new to this idea, hopefully I'll give a good framework for it. Because what we're doing here is we want to get the difference between interpreting a passage and applying the passage. So we need to know how to interpret passages, and we also then know how to apply the passage if there is an application, and if there is an application to our lives, what would that application be? Because it's going to be different people for different times and different ages, and we have to be very careful with that. We can't just randomly take any scripture from anywhere and apply it to ourselves, which is what we see constantly, willy-nilly, unfortunately. We started last time with Psalm 46:5, and this is a good verse because, to start with, I think, it's a good framework. If you're not familiar with this topic, for those of us who are, it's a good reminder. Psalm 46:5 is God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. Now, the reason I came across this verse, because it was from a story from a television program, and a young lady had this tattooed on her back, and she unfortunately met a very violent end at a young age. I think she was about 20 years old. And by the end of the story, when they had solved the crime, the mother had gotten the same tattoo of this verse. And we talked about this last time, and we went through the Psalms around there, Psalm 44, 45, 46. But in the immediate context of Psalm 46:5 is Psalm 46:4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She shall not fail. So again, pronouns, pronoun trouble. We need to... When we see pronouns in Scripture, they're immensely important. I talked about people who get hung up on names. They get hung up on the name Yeshua, which actually in the Hebrew is never used in the Greek texts. but not that you can't use Yeshua, you can, but it's never there. But we see the word he referring to the Lord quite a bit. We also see the word he referring to Satan. So it's the same word, so the word isn't important, it's the person behind it. And that's true of a lot of scripture and of all scripture, and that's true of all pronouns, it's what's behind it. So when this young lady put God is within her, she shall not fall, she was claiming something that really had nothing to do with her. This has to do with the city of God, right? In the context, it's making glad the city of God. And so, you know, again, we talked about this before. Sometimes when people don't interpret scripture, it actually destroys their faith. Because they look at God and said, what happened, God? I claimed these verses, but they're either claiming them out of context or they were never meant for them, right? Or they're claiming them incorrectly or they're misapplying them, right? And that can really make people wonder about their faith and wonder about the faithfulness of the Lord. Anyway, let's get to Psalm 111, and we're going to start at the end of the psalm, verse 10, because this is when you hear a lot. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Psalm 111:10. The reason I came across this one is because I saw this posted a number of places. People posting this and claiming this in social media. There's a lot of slides made of this. You'll see this in churches on the walls. And again, nothing wrong with the verse. But we want to look at it again in its context, and we want to be careful with there's things in here like, what is understanding? Understanding what? What are doing his commandments? What does it mean to do the Lord's commandments, right? What does it mean that something endures forever? There's that word forever that we find so problematic in many of our translations, right? That we have to help explain people what that means. Remember, the Lord's statutes are forever, you know, but people aren't obeying them. And even the most hardcore Calvinist isn't obeying the statutes forever in the law. They're not going around slaughtering animals, etc. So they're dispensationalists. Like I said, whether they like it or not, they're dispensationalists. Right? So anyway, that's the popular verse. So again, we're starting with the fear of the Lord. It leads to understanding. Right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Companion Bible notes clarify this for this. It's not wisdom itself, or the end. It's just the beginning. This is the beginning of understanding. That's for all of us, no matter what dispensation we're in. We always start there. So that's a good application across the board. Yeah. Fear the Lord, reverence for the Lord is the beginning. This is where you start your journey of wisdom, right? So that's a good truth. But what understanding are we headed toward? What wisdom are we headed toward, right? What truths are we headed toward? What obedience are we headed toward? That's the key here. Fear and reverence. That is what we're headed for, right? When we read a verse like this, we have to then decide when we're going to apply it to ourselves. What can we get of it? Remember, all the Word of God is profitable. So you have commandments and precepts. Revelation 22:14. Again, blessed are those who do His commandments. That they may have, who's they? Who's this pronoun? They may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city, the New Jerusalem that is there. So this is, again, blessing for those who do His commandments. Now, you take that on its own, you can define, if you took this part of blessed are those who do His commandments, you can define it any way you want, those commandments, but we can't. We can't just define commandments and precepts of the Lord any way we want. We can't grab them from any age. And people who do this with the Ten Commandments or whatever, they're selective. They're going to choose the Ten Commandments. And the one guy that said, between you and heaven, the Ten Commandments will be there. That's the wall between you and heaven. But he selectively chose the Ten Commandments and left out the rest of Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He just selectively chose that those are the commands he wants. So we have to understand what commands are going on here. Again, this fear of the Lord, this understanding, good understanding of all those who do his commandments, right? Now, this Young's literal says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of Jehovah. A good understanding have all doing them, act them, right? His praise is standing forever. Again, Young uses forever. Let's go to verse 9 for a second, 111:9. I'm going to stay with Young's literal, but you can look at it in the King James too. Redemption he hath sent to his people. Now we got to figure, who are his people? That's me. I'm a child of God. I'm all the people here at the church. You know, but let's look at that. He has appointed to the age. That's what I like about Young's literal. He has appointed to the age. King James says forever. He has appointed to the age his covenant. Holy and fearful is his name. That's young literal, verse 9 of Psalm 111. Alright, so we're starting to see some context here. He's appointed to the age, his covenant. What covenant? Sticking with verse 9 there, the King James says he sent a redemption to his people. Same word, people. Commanded his covenant forever, holy and reverent his name. So now we have an issue. What covenant? Well, let's go look at this word in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. This is the part of the old covenant. The word berith here for covenant. And now, if ye, plural, really hearken to my voice, then ye, plural, have kept my commandment and been to me a peculiar treasure, more than all the peoples, the nations, for all the earth is mine. Ye, plural, are to me a kingdom of priests, plural, and a holy nation, plural, meaning plural people in a nation. These are the words which thou dost speak unto the sons of Israel. This is what you are to say, Moses, to a group of people, and a very specific group. This isn't for the nations. Within these two verses, the beginning of the law, you already have a separation of Israel, sons of Israel, and the nations. Right? So, they're going to be a peculiar treasure, a singular nation made up of a plural number of people, among other people. So God's dealing with a covenant with a group. And we cannot go take covenants to groups and commandments to groups and make them and place them on individuals. So you have redemption there back in, and the idea of redemption, he sent redemption. That's verse 9 of 111, Psalm 111 back there. He sent redemption unto his people, as King James says. Well, the companion Bible notes and wants us to remember that redemption involves three things here. His people, his covenant, and his name. So what is the context for his people, his covenant, and his name here? So let's go right back to the beginning of the Psalm. Psalm 111:1. Praise the Lord. We're jumping right off there. That's a hallelujah. Yah, Jehovah. You know, Yah. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Now, the assembly there, the word is sode in Hebrew. It's a close group. It's a secret meeting. The Young's Literal says secret meeting. So it's this close group. It's a specific group, the assembly of the upright. It's not all people of all times. It's not even all believers. It's not even all believers of that age. I don't know if I lost connection. Anyway, we're in Psalm 111:1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Praise the Lord, my whole heart. The assembly of the upright we're talking about in the congregation. The assembly in Hebrew, the word is sode. It's a closed group. It's a secret meeting. Young's Literal calls it a secret meeting. Right? So the point of being, this assembly of the upright is a group of people. But it's not just believers. I mean, it's a specific part of believers. Remember, there are believers outside of Israel. We saw believers outside of Israel in the law. There were Gentiles who were welcome to live among Israel. They weren't allowed to keep the feasts, though, because that is specifically part of a covenant for Israel. And we saw in the Lord's ministry, believing Gentiles. Right? The two that come to him, one, the centurion who wants to have his servant healed, and the woman who wants her daughter healed, the Lord heals these Gentiles, never touches them, never sees these Gentiles. Right? But he says to the woman, what about, you know, woman, I was not sent to you, I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because she called him son of David, she had no right to. So we see believing Gentiles before Cornelius. And in Israel you had believers in that age that weren't Israel. But they weren't part of that covenant. They weren't part of that assembly. And in the congregation, it's the assembly of the upright. So when you talk about Israel, the congregation, it's believing Israel. This will be able to tell people, you just say all Jews are blessed. I don't say all Jews are blessed. You say all Jews are saved. I'm not saying that. They still have to believe. They still have to believe. And there will be a believing remnant one day, right? So Exodus 15:26. And he said, if thou, plural, will diligently hearken to the voice of Jehovah thy God and will do that which is right. Again, these are conditional things. Plural group, if thou, plural, will hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy God and do which is right in his eyes. Wilt thou give ear to his commandments? Again, there we are. Keep his statutes, all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee, plural, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah that heals thee. Now, plural. Now, are we going to go here and say to a believer today that if you don't keep all God's commandments and his statutes, he's going to put the diseases of Egypt upon you? It doesn't mean anything to us today, right? Now, is there truth here? Yes, there's blessing. There's blessing, spiritual blessing, certainly, in obedience to God, in obedience to our calling. There's blessing there, right? But there's not the same promises or threats. And people will explain these things away. And again, congregation, this word, Exodus 12:3, speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying in the 10th, thou shalt take to them every man a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb. Now, this is a congregation of Israel. It's a condition for Israel. Again, all the commandments of God. Here's a commandment of God. Exodus 12 is even before Sinai. Who's doing this? Maybe some Hebrew Christians, whatever they call themselves. But the Reformed are these people who say we're spiritual Israel. Well, that's all satisfied in the cross. Not everything was satisfied in the cross. I mean, there was no blood sacrifice in checking virgins for their virginity and paying shekels fines if your daughter turns out that she wasn't a virgin. That's not a blood sacrifice. They're not doing that. They're not doing away with saying murder's okay. When people talk about the law and what's in the law, they forget the purpose of the law, to whom the law was given and when it was given. And we have a lot of statutes and commandments, right, we're going to say before Sinai. But this idea of the congregation of Israel, this is used 11 times in the New King James. I looked it up, 12 times in the ESV, 15 times in Modern English, and 23 times in the King James. You get this congregation of Israel. But even congregation by itself is used repeatedly in the context of Israel. So when we get back to Psalm 111, this is to whom the psalm is speaking. The context is Israel. Now verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. That's the New King James. So this is calling Israel to remember the Lord's works and his ways. Right? Revelation 15:3, because we're connecting Israel. Revelation is for Israel too. Revelation 15:3. They sing the song of Moses, which makes sense for them. The servant of God and the song of the Lamb. We have to be careful with the Lamb too. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. So this is they. Now, who is they? Who are they that sing the song of Moses? Is that all believers of all time? That my church is the one we sing the song of Moses. Now, let's look at the verse before it, Revelation 15:2. Them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name. That's who the they are. That's the pronoun. It's those that got victory over the beast. That's not us. We don't have victory over the beast. Beast isn't even here, or his image, or mark, or the number of his name. But this group will, and they will sing the song of Moses. So again, this is where we are in 1:11:2. This is all connected to Israel. It's a special victory. It is the day of the Lord. It's a special victory over Satan. And it says in alphabetical analysis, Charles Wells said, here is a special victory of the day of the Lord, a victory over Satan and the anti-Christian powers at the time of the end. Remember, most of the Bible, I'll tell people this, most of the Bible is about the earth. Most of the Bible is about what God's plans are for the earth. And that's when we have to start making separations for people. Psalm 111, verses 3 and 4. His work, here we go again, his work is honorable and glorious. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Here the word works is the Hebrew word pala. It's a difficult work. That's why it's wonderful. Because God does very difficult things, and that's why we're in awe of God, because he does such wonderful works. But we have to be careful, because we have to start separating out the many attributes of God. Right? So we can, of course, in our age, in our context, we can give glory to God and remember his works for us. Right? Which are different. He didn't bring us out of the land of Egypt. He didn't bring our fathers out of the land of Egypt. He didn't give our fathers a covenant. But certainly, as we'll see in Ephesians, there are many wonderful things that we can remember the Lord for. So that's an application as opposed to an interpretation. Verse 5 of Psalm 111:5. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. What covenant? Who is he talking to? Now, the food here could be the manna in the desert. Now, is this an absolute? The richest people on this planet, very few, if any, that I know of are believers. In fact, some of them are very satanic people, and I won't name any names here, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of them are very evil. Some of them have murderous thoughts about mankind, really. And they're the richest people. They are the most blessed, if we want to use that term, in terms of physical blessing and in terms of property, in terms of land. So we have to be very careful. This is the distinctions we have to make. You know? Well, I was thinking about this, too. Later on, we're going to talk about some popular verses that people use today, claim today, that they have no right claiming. And I don't know if you saw the news, but there were 50 believers in Congo. And again, I don't know what kind of believers, but they said they were the Christians. Christians were taken. 50 of them had their heads lopped off in the Congo just in the last few days. And a number of others were taken hostage or made into slaves. Now, why aren't they going around claiming Jeremiah 29:11? Which we'll get to in a minute. One of the most popular light verses. Aren't they? Why not Romans 8:28? All things work together for good. Love God. Well, you have to define what working good is. You have to define it in the context of Romans 8, which is resurrection. But it's just ripped out of there. Anyway, that's just some free editorial commentary. Psalm 11:5, he has given food again to those who fear him. So we're talking about the covenant. This is the Abrahamic covenant. It's of the earth. It concerns the land. It's right. It concerns the people. It's one-sided. God's going to do this. Abraham, who had nothing to do with it, Abraham fills it. So we have to separate God's blessings in redemption, blessings in justification, with blessings of the land. There are different things we have to rightly divide. 111:6, he has declared to his people the power of his works. And this is works again, but it's a different word. It's a Hebrew mahasa. These are things that God has accomplished in giving them the heritage of the nations. What are we going to do with that? What's the heritage of the nations? What am I running around claiming that I have the heritage of the nations? No, Israel has this. Israel has all this is before them. It's all part of the promises to Israel, past and future. The Lord's taking the land from Gentile nations. Back then, he took land from Gentile nations, gave it to the people of the covenant. In Israel. This is what he's going to do in the future. He's going to take land from the nations, the Gentiles, and he's going to give it to them again. They will have their promised land, all of it. Most of it is now occupied by Gentiles. So this is the blessings, all part of this past and future of Israel as a plural people. These blessings in all through the Psalms. Verse 7, the works of his hands are truth and justice, and his precepts are sure. Inside this word sure is the word, is translated sometimes fixed. It's sure, it's fixed. So his precepts, his commandments, this word, pikud, for commandments here, which is a different word, is used 22 times, and it's only in the Psalms. Right, we know there's a parallel in Psalm 112, verse 7. He, again, the man that fears the Lord, is individual, shall not be afraid of evil, tidings, his heart is fixed. That's the idea. It's trusting the Lord. It's fixed. It's sure. It's certain. So God's precepts are sure and certain. But now we have a problem. Now we've got a problem. We've already had a problem with commandments. Which commandments? Which precepts? You know, which ones are fixed? The law? We talked about checking virgins, collecting shekels. How about the law that says if a man says something that God did not say, that man must be put to death? We'd have an awful lot of dead people running around the charismatic movement. They're all claiming God speaks to them, and they're all claiming words from God. Lovely people. I know a lot of lovely charismatics. But theoretically, if one of them stands up and says something, saying, God is speaking through me, God saith unto the congregation, and I've seen this, and he says something and doesn't come to pass, or if it's not the words of God, he is to be killed under the law. Now, again, so if you're going to claim going to the Psalms saying, we need to obey the precepts and commandments of the Lord. Which precepts? Which commandments? So again, they're dispensationalists because they're not stoning people to death. Right? They're not collecting shekels. from people as fines, right? They're not doing these things contained in the law, among many, many other laws we could talk about. Those things that are, this is a statute forever. They're not doing them. Forever means forever, Michael. Okay, here's a verse that says, this statute shall be between me and you forever. You shall take a lamb, and you shall go up to the temple forever. They're not doing it. Well, Jesus satisfied that. You're a dispensational. Oh, my. Michael's getting frustrated. All right, Psalm 111:8. We'll keep moving along here. So these are the commandments. They stand fast forever and ever. We have to define that. And are done in truth and uprightness. Right? Now, this is a different word. This is different. This is the mitzvah. Right? This is mitzvah. This is different from the pikud. This is what the mitzvah, you hear this Jewish people talking about. This is what, if you count them out, 613, as they say, the law of Moses and the Pentateuch. So the mitzvah, this is all the laws of Moses, right, there, in the Pentateuch. Now, that's the mitzvah. Is that what we're going to say? Is that what we're going to put on people today? See, the whole point, and you get this group gets this, but this is what we have to help people see. And maybe this will be the crack, because this was a crack with me. I didn't understand what I was reading in the book of Matthew. I didn't understand what I was reading in the book of Acts. I was told, you need to follow Jesus. Okay, Jesus said a lot of things here that nobody's doing. We're an Acts church. Okay, there's a lot of things going on in the book of Acts I don't see going on in my church. Right? We need to claim what the Lord said in Ezekiel. Right? Well, I don't see that. I don't think God took my old heart out. I still have an old man. So what do all those things mean? And if we can get people to start, this is my approach, if I get people to start looking and going, let's take that exactly what it says and what it means. That can't possibly be for you, right? That can't possibly be for me. So we have the meaning of forever and ever we have to talk to people about, the ages. Does it really mean forever and ever? Like we talked about, this statute shall be between me and you forever. Is that really believers today? Which commandments and which precepts are we talking about that we have to obey? Which blessings are we looking for? Manna from the heavens? Is that what we're looking for? Or what are conditional? What about this? What about the land God talks about? You know, and they nuance all these things. And what are the conditions for getting all these things? Where do we find those conditions? Do we go to the law? They go to the law for some things. 10 commandments. They don't go to the law for everything. Well, that part was satisfied, that part wasn't, that part was satisfied, that part wasn't, that was satisfied, that part wasn't. You know, they pick and choose. And I did this, I'm pointing the finger at myself. So, and we know this, and this is what believers will understand. When it comes to the keeping of commandments, and these are all these things in Psalm 111 about keeping commandments, we know that it's not required for justification, right? We know that. Going back to Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, it was counted for righteousness, right? Abraham believes, it quoted in Romans 4:3. Right? So this is the core foundation of our basic faith of justification before God. It has nothing to do with the law keeping. Nothing to do with any works, right? So Abraham couldn't have been keeping the law of Sinai. I mean, there were a number of laws before Sinai. We know the Gentiles had a law, right? This is from Dispensational Truth, Charles Welch. He says, quote, all the law, usually refers to the law of Moses, is much remembered that there are 7 passages written before the giving of the law at Sinai that reveal the existence of laws and statutes. Genesis 26:5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Now I'm stopping there. Yeah, he was keeping what? He wasn't keeping the law. He's keeping the law, the commandments he understood at the time for that age. But not the law of Sinai. Obviously, he couldn't go to a temple. He couldn't go to a tabernacle. He wouldn't even know what that was. Continuing, in Genesis alone, there are 34 such laws that have been noted in operation. All right, so all this is before Moses was even born. So I'm not going to read this whole thing. It's in Dispensational Truth if you want to get that, right? if you want to read that. Because it's an excellent thing to talk about that there, even for the age, Adam had different instructions. We don't follow the instructions for Adam. We're not worried about a garden. We're not worried about a fruit. We don't follow the instructions that God gave. I always say Bible command. I obey all the Bible commands. Here's a command, build ye an ark of gopher wood. How's that coming along? That's a command of the Bible. Well, that was for Abraham. Aha, you're a dispensationalist. Welcome to the group. Welcome to the club. You realize that a command to Abraham is not a command to you. I mean, to Noah. Or Abraham. For a promise to Abraham is not a promise to you. And a promise to the children of Abraham is not necessarily a promise to you. I don't think it is. We covered Galatians last time. So we know there's different precepts, different times, for different times, for different purposes, for different people, for different hopes. An earthly hope and then a heavenly hope. Okay, back to Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name, right? We talked about the people. We talked about the covenant. Right? The word in the ISV uses the word deliverance. He sent deliverance to his people. Psalm 130, verses 7 and 8. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel, plural. He shall redeem Israel, plural. Again, so there's a past redemption, and there's a future redemption for Israel. From all his, its, or theirs, plural, sins. This is a group cleansing. So we can't insert ourselves in there. Unfortunately, that poor young lady who took that verse, she inserted herself in she without recognizing the city of God, back in Psalm 46:5. Sadly. So you have national redemption. National redemption. National deliverance. And we know this from Craig's wonderful study in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, when the Lord comes in the flesh to the earth, to his people. 168. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. That's not the church. As we use the word church, we know that's a loaded word, but we know when we talk to people. Because he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we're going to quickly look here at three verses that are just, if you know Michael Scotto and you're around me, I talk about these three verses a lot. Three passages, verses. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I'm going into Southern man. I'll give you a stony, take that stony heart out of you, mister, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. You hear that, and you hear that at baptisms, and you go, no, I still have a stony heart. I still have an old nature, and this is going to destroy people's faith. If they think, God's taken away my stony heart, and but if you read that passage, that chapter, that section of the book, it's clearly the nation of Israel. But you put a false hope in somebody that you have a new spirit in you. I mean, there's an application here, but you got to be really careful with it. You still have your old nature. Right? That's what you got to tell people. God didn't take out your old nature and gave you a new nature. He gives you a new nature, but you still have that old one, right? That's the second half of the book of Ephesians, is that old, worrying about that old nature. And here's Jeremiah 29:11 I referenced earlier. This is most people I know, their life verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, unless you're in the Congo getting your head chopped off. This is national hope for Israel. The thoughts I think toward Israel, says the Lord, of peace and not evil, to give Israel hope. If you read Jeremiah 29, it is about Israel. And I've done this on my podcast and on my blog. I go through the whole chapter around it going, you cannot inflict yourself in there. There's something about other things in there too where God says, I'm the one that punished you. I'm the one that sent you in the wilderness. I'm the one that gave you diseases. But I'm going to rescue you, Israel. I said, why don't you claim those verses? They only claim the good parts, the end of the story. And of course, we all know this from Jeremiah 31. I'm going to read verses 32 and 34, the end of 34. Behold, the days are coming. We know this. You know, the new covenant. Says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, that's not us. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers, again, plural pronouns, in the day I took them by the hand, led them out of the land of Egypt, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is a plural thing quoted in the book of Hebrews, and it's yet plural in the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews 8 says, the old covenant was slowly passing away. The new covenant was not yet in. So anyway, that brings us all the way back to Psalm 110. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, good understanding of all those who do his commandments. Great verse. But once we understand, what does fear of the Lord mean for us? What does revering the Lord in this age mean for us? What is wisdom in this age? We're going to look at that in a second to finish this. what is a good understanding in this age? And what precepts and commandments do we follow in this age? What wisdom, what understanding, what commandments and precepts? Well, we could talk for hours about believers who claim to follow the red letters of Jesus, claim to be in the book of Acts, but they don't. We can easily find just a few verses, and you're not doing that. You're not selling everything you have. You're not giving to all who ask of you. You're not sending people to the Sanhedrin. You're not being thrown in Gehenna fire for calling your brother a name. None of those things, right? I'm giving away the end here, but you know this, but for anybody listening in, we follow Paul. Paul says, be ye followers of me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. My 1111 verse. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also, I also am of Christ. Because I follow Jesus, as I follow Jesus, but I follow Jesus as Paul, my apostle. Now, in the book of Corinthians, Paul was teaching something different. I still follow Paul because Paul says, yeah, that's true, Michael, in Corinthians, but here's a greater revelation, and that's the Paul I follow. Now, we're talking about wisdom and understanding, right? We're talking about this beginning of wisdom, this understanding. What is it for us? Now we're back in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. Hope you can keep up, Tony. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. So right there, it's faith in the Lord Jesus is the distinguishing mark. Love for all the saints, another distinguishing mark. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may do what? May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his powers toward usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Right, let's stop there. No land, no food, no inheritance of Gentile nations, but there is wisdom and understanding and enlightenment here. So the reverence for the Lord in this age, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, which wasn't in the Psalms, but what is the wisdom and revelation and understanding and enlightenment in this age that Paul's talking about? He's not talking about the law. He's not talking about the precepts of Abraham. So when we read that Psalm, we got to put those, we got to say, okay, if I'm going to apply these things, what wisdom am I looking for? Here's your wisdom, people. Ephesians chapter 1. And then that'll lead that through to chapter 3, to the revelation. That's what you need to be enlightened unto. Right? Continuing there in Ephesians 1, just which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set his own right hand in the heavenly places. So we are now not no longer talking about a land. We are not talking about food. We're not talking about physical blessings. We're not talking about inheriting nations. Continuing far above all principality and power, we're now way above everything else. Might and dominion, every name that is named. The name of Moses, Abraham, we are not the children of Abraham. Above every name in his name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So that covers everything. And it put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, Ecclesia, which is his body. You don't see any of that. You won't see that body anywhere but here. The fullness of him that fills all in all, now we have the fullness. Going back in Ephesians to the beginning of chapter, verses 3 and 4, this is the far above all translation. You can read it in the King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the land? No, in the upper heavenly places. Not a land, not a kingdom. In Christ, according to how he chose us in him before the overthrow of the world, right? So this is before the law. Anything given to Adam, anything given to Noah, anything given to Abraham, anything given to Moses, anything given to David, anything given to the apostles. This is before all of that, before the covenants, this blessing. And it cannot be annulled by any of it. So what is that calling? That calling is for us to be holy and without blemish in his presence in love. When we want to be holy and without blemish, where do we look? We look in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon. That's where we look. That's the precepts. That's the commandments. That's following Paul. That's the understanding. That's the wisdom. Not going to the law and picking and choosing the parts we like. not going to law and placing fellow believers under the burdens of the law. None of that. In fact, that, can I use this word delicately? That is wickedness. The law is not wicked, but placing people who do not have that promise, who do not have that covenant, under an earthly law, only parts of it, by the way, they put them under, and then robbing them of this enlightenment, robbing them of this understanding, and robbing them of unsearchable riches in the far above the heavens. And that's what's going on in the name of Jesus Christ from almost every pulpit in the world, is robbing people of these blessings by putting them under that law, putting them in bondage, exactly. So when we stand fast in the liberty, in Galatians 5, we stand fast in the liberty that we have in Christ in redemption, particularly as Gentiles, where we are not under the law. But even in the Acts, the Jews that were under the law were under some obligation. But we go to none of that. We have blessings in Christ, in redemption, through faith alone, as Abraham did. But our hope then is turned upward, not to the earth, not to those blessings, and not to a kingdom, and not to a land, and not to covenants. Let's finish there. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your blessing, Father. We thank you, Father. You are a good God. You're so good. You're good to Adam, Father. You're good to Noah. All the ones we mentioned, good to Abraham, good to David, good to Moses, good to the people of Israel. Father, and you have a plan for them, Father. But we thank God that you revealed through your apostle, Father, an even greater plan that was hidden from all of them, hidden during all those ages, but revealed through Paul, Father, and through him and through your word, through Paul, that revelation to us, Father, that we can rest in you and we have this glory ahead of us, Father, not on the earth, not in the kingdom, not in the land, not in food, not in houses, Father, not in earthly blessings, but in blessings that are unsearchable, Father, unimaginable blessings in the far above the heavens, in our resurrection body someday. We ask you for grace, Father, for our failings and our faulty minds, Father. Bless everyone here. Bless the families represented. Father, continue to bless the people and provide in North Carolina and California, Father. And we pray for the believers in the Congo, Father. They're suffering. Father, the glory is going to be in the resurrection. The glory is going to be in the resurrection. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for your time and your attention tonight. And I hope you have a very warm night that we're not having here in the Carolinas.